Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back to the realest podcast in the dunya, the three Muslims. Minus one, but Angel sends his salams regardless, inshallah. How's it going, Rami?
Alhamdulillah, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If you guys miss Angel, inshallah, stay tuned for Saturday, 12 p.m. EST. The three Salafis are going to be back, inshallah. Well, with this being said, Rami, do you want to give a quick little introduction into what's been going on lately?
Yeah, so we discussed and we noticed between the three of us that there's a lot of basics that are lacking with Muslims, right? A lot of Muslims lack basics, whether it's in the work field or it's in their Islam or it's in day-to-day interactions. A lot of people lack the basics. And I was talking to my brother about this. Sometimes you need people to teach you how to do basic things, even if it's something small like shopping or interacting with people, communicating. You need people to show you how to do basic things. And if you don't get the basics down, then you're going to be struggling to do these very basic things. So we actually decided that it would be best to go through some of the basics, Islamically speaking, so that people can walk away with something more practical that they can take in their day-to-day experiences.
Inshallah. That's amazing, bro. And this is exactly why, inshallah, y'all can stay tuned for a little bit more basic, foundational, and beneficial content going forward, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So this being said, today there's a couple things that, you know, we want to talk about. But firstly, before we jump right into it, I wanted to share some good news, alhamdulillah. So there is a brother, I'm not going to mention any name because perhaps he wants anonymity, but he's from the UK, alhamdulillah. And I had a call with him a few days ago, and there's a lot of stuff, you know, we don't film and they're, you know, off camera. But this was a very heartwarming story, so I wanted to share it because there's a message. But this brother, alhamdulillah, he had been researching Islam for a long time, probably not too long, but he knows it's the truth. And he even knows that, you know, even subconsciously, internally, he might already be Muslim, because we subconsciously embrace and accept Islam and submit to Allah before we verbalize the Shahada. And he told me that he's delaying the Shahada, and I asked him why. And he said that, you know what, I want to do it in a more ideal time. You know, I want to make it a special day with my boys, and I want to go to the masjid. I want the sheikh involved. And it's a very good intention, right? But necessarily might not be the best action. And a lot of people are like, what are you talking about? How is there a difference between intention and action? I thought anything that I mean well is well, and anything that I mean harm is harm. But it's a little bit deeper than that, but bear with me for now. So I talked to him and I asked him, like, okay, that's cool. And I'm not trying to do fear mongering, because at the end of the day, you're already in a state where you accept Islam and you know, like, you're going to eventually say the Shahada. Why not just do it right now? What is the delay? Because I hear a lot of people say, I want to finish the Quran. I want to finish at least reading it once. What's after that? You know what I mean? There's so much to learn about Islam. And to me, I believe that if you're in a state of paralysis by analysis, and this brother was alluding to a little bit of how he wants to right his wrongs and affairs between him and Allah before accepting Islam. So kind of in a way where once his slate gets wiped out clean, he doesn't taint it, not even the tiniest speck of dirt. And that's a very admirable or honorable intention, right? But what is guaranteed in this life except death? You know, and I told him that if you want to come from a place where you want to fix all these things, that's fine. But understand, if you accept Islam now, on the day of judgment, no one can ask you, why did you not accept Islam after Allah has made it clear as day to you? Why did you delay it? And no excuse will hold any bit of weight on that day. Believe me. And there's so many people that are wondering, how am I going to be rewarded if I'm struggling? Well, think about it like this. Let's say a sister is coming from 20X amount of years of not wearing hijab. She's not Muslim and she's struggling with hijab. It's not going to make sense for her to overnight be a niqabi or a hijabi. It's not going to make sense. I would much rather she accepts Islam because she submits to it to be the truth, and then struggles with her hijab for the sake of Allah. And Allah will actually reward her more every single day that she's fighting that internal battle and trying to work towards having correct hijab, than a sister perhaps, let's say, has never had a struggle with it. She was born Muslimah, never struggled with it, didn't come to the West, wasn't a feminist, whatever. You get me? So similarly, I told him, yes, you can fix all your affairs, but that's not an obligation. Allah doesn't expect perfection. Allah expects progress. And he's like, okay, I get that. But, you know, what if it's not that much more delayed? It's only a week. you know, and it's going to be in the masjid and it's going to be nice. And I've already said the shahada before. And I was like, okay, when you said it, did you mean it or did you just say it to learn how to say it with intent? And he's like, no, it's the latter. You know, like I went over it to basically prepare myself to say it. But it wasn't like the shahada, quote unquote. And I was like, okay, khalas, there's no problem with that. And again, I'm not going to pressure him because at the end of the day, I want people to embrace Islam and stay Muslim than just say something empty where they might verbalize the shahada, but it's not really here. And then eventually leave Islam, even though that's not in our control. But I want to make sure they're ready to take that step. So I told his brother that, you know, alhamdulillah, you have all the time you want. And just understand, again, not fear mongering, but anything can happen to us. Nothing's guaranteed. If I were you, I would definitely take that step to become a Muslim and not delay it, because it's shaitan's tricks to make you delay it. Shaitan's going to tell you there's a perfect moment. Wait till you do this. You don't deserve Islam. You're not going to be forgiven, X, Y, Z. And alhamdulillah, we ended the call. This was Monday. Nothing happened. And I woke up today to a text message from the brother saying that, alhamdulillah, right after a phone call on Monday, he said the shahada immediately. And subhanAllah, what happened was, as soon as he became a Muslim and did the shahada, the very next morning, he felt very terminally ill. Like, I'm talking like ill to the point where he wouldn't have been able to go to the masjid, let alone like leave the house or do what he planned. Basically, this whole grand ideological fairy tale type of, and not in a disrespectful way, but just this nice prepared way of saying the shahada, he wouldn't have been able to do that anyway. And I remember telling him that too, that what's not to say that once it comes the day to go to the masjid, let's say the sheikh can't come, or let's say something happens to a family member where they're ill and because of that you got to tend to caring for them and you can't come. And it just goes to show the timing that, subhanallah, like, had he delayed it, and Allah knows best, perhaps because of that, he might not have still been Muslim. And Allah knows what would have happened. But because he failed, because he passed that test and he didn't fail that step, we have a new brother in Islam, alhamdulillah. And this is a reminder to everyone here that if you're Muslim or not Muslim, having good intention is not everything. Good action is very important. And I would say sometimes even more important than good intention. But Rami, what do you think about that?
Well, first, I wanted to ask, what do you mean by good intention? What does that actually mean?
So good intention is having a pure intention where you intend to do something for the sake of Allah. You intend to do something for the betterment of Allah, or not betterment of Allah, to please Allah and only please Allah, to help people, to serve people. Your goal is not for dunya. Your goal is not to appease the people or just your own desires or nafs. And this is not to go on a tangent where your own nafs and pleasing your desires can't always, you know, equate to pleasing Allah. Because sometimes, you know, doing what I want to do is also going to please Allah. But the goal should be always to please Allah and doing it for the sake of Allah.
Okay, and what about good action? What does that
mean? So good action. So the thing with good action is necessarily not going to be doing good action. Okay, let me break it down like this. A good action is an act which is good, which is beneficial, and this was also please Allah. However, you can have a good action with a bad intention. I'll give you an example. Let's say I want to give a lot of sadaqah. I want to feed a bunch of homeless people, right? This is an amazing, amazing action in the eyes of Allah, because it's feeding people that are in need. I'm giving meals away. Khalas, that's fine. However, what if my main intention for this was to get clout? I want to record it. I want to bring Rami. Rami, we're going to go, you know, over here to Popeyes. We're going to buy 20 two-piece boxes. I'm going to pass you my iPhone. I'm going to put on the mic and we're going to record it. I'm going to start with Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. You know, today we're going to be doing a little bit of street dawah and whatever. And my main intention was just to do this for views, just to do this for subs. This is a very good action, but it's a very bad intention. My intention isn't for the sake of Allah or to actually feed people and keep it low key. Oftentimes doing a lot of things between you and Allah, keeping your good deeds private, it's much more honorable, as we know from Islam. And doing otherwise isn't necessarily always beneficial, like this case. And the opposite could be true, bro, because a lot of people are wondering, like, okay, I get that. What about bad intention? What about good intention, bad action? What is that about? So let's say I have a very good intention, but I'm not going to have bad action. I'll give you an example. Let's say some guy is having a haram relationship with a girl who's not Muslim. I know, crazy, right? Like, concept, but it happens, unfortunately. And this guy decides, you know what? I want to stay with this girl. I'm going to be committing haram with her. But, you know, she knows I'm Muslim. So I eventually want to bring her into Islam. I eventually want to convert her to Islam and give her da'wah and whatever. But he stays with this girl. He stays committing haram. This, in his mind, could be tricked into being a good intention. I want to bring another human being into Islam, and I want to guide them, and I want to give them knowledge, give them da'wah to the point where Allah can give them hidayah. But it's a very bad action. Another thing could be, let's say, I want to build a masjid. It's a very good intention, right? Amazing intention. I want to build a masjid. So you know what? I'm going to rob a bank now so I have enough money to build that masjid. Very bad action. So we must understand, as Muslims, we have to have good intention and good action combined, side by side. It can't be one without the other. One of the hadiths of the 40 hadiths of Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, is the Prophet ﷺ mentions that deeds are judged by nothing but their intention. Like, actions are judged by nothing but their intention. Intention is the thing that matters the most when you do good deeds, even. Good intention and good action is the key to success, inshallah.
Inshallah. So basically, what you're saying is, in order to actually be rewarded by Allah and to have good deeds, you have to do something Allah tells you is good, and you have to do it for His sake as well.
Sorry, can you repeat that one more time? I was reading these comments.
Yeah, no worries. So basically what you're saying is you have to do something that Allah tells you is good, and you have to do it for His sake.
Definitely. Definitely. 100%.
Okay, perfect.
Because we can't just do things for God, let alone acts of worship that we think are good, but they might not even be acts of worship to begin with. A lot of people don't know that in Islam, the general, you know, we're not scholars here, but in generality, everything is halal, permissible, unless explicitly mentioned to be haram.
Yeah.
Or not explicitly in Quran Sunnah, but let's say majority scholar consensus, you want to follow that. These are things we stay away from. However, the default for ibadah, acts of worship, is the opposite. That all of these acts of worship are haram unless specifically mentioned to be halal or to be obligatory.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it took me a second. But okay, so I want to give an example, because, like, imagine you wanted to take your wife to a dinner or something, right? So you take her to your favorite restaurant instead of hers. You know, it's like you have a good intention. I want to take you out for a good time. But instead of taking her to her favorite place, you take her to your favorite place. So who's it really for? If it's to make her happy and to give her a good time, why are you going to your favorite place? It's like, you know, I want to do something for the sake of Allah, but you're not doing things that Allah actually likes. You're doing things that you want to do. So you have to make sure that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. How do we know that Allah loves some actions? Because He tells us, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the most beloved acts to Him, are those which He made obligatory. The things that are obligations for us, when we do them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that over the other deeds. We also know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the deeds that are consistent, even if they're small, right? Which actually kind of brings us to a topic we're going to be talking about in a bit, inshallah, which is about, you know, professionalism and excellency and doing things to the best of your ability. Consistency is going to be a big part of that as well, inshallah. But let's wrap up this topic. So again, intentions are, or good intention is when you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to doing it for like worldly gain. And there's a very scary hadith of the Prophet. I don't know how authentic it is, but this is truthful in concept, so it's okay, inshallah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he said that the actions of the afterlife, things you do to elevate yourself in the afterlife, will be done for the dunya. For example, you know, what we're doing now, you know, giving da'wah, or you know, what we call giving da'wah, or teaching people about Islam, instead of doing it for the sake of Allah, people will do it for the dunya. Oh, I'm doing it for the followers and the views and the money and the subs and the blah, 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 whatever, whatever, you know? So that is a great example of, you know, someone who might not do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they'll actually be punished in the afterlife because of it. So you have good intentions for the sake of Allah. Then you have good actions, which are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do, or tells you to do, or tells you that they're good things to do. And Is there anything I missed, Fahd?
Yeah, I wanted to quickly touch on the consequences. So basically, the consequences of doing things for the sake of Allah versus your main niyyah being not for the sake of Allah. So the first thing I want you all to understand is anytime we do something for the sake of Allah, we do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else, nothing else. We can't fail. We can't lose. Even if in dunya, in hindsight, it seems like we might be letting go of something that we want. I'll give an example. Let's say I really want to listen to music, right? I feel like it's going to make me happy. I feel like it's going to give me a better pump in the gym, right? It's going to give me some energy, some motivation, some whatever, right? Shayateen, but whatever, we'll keep it that. And because of that, I think it's beneficial for me, right? But I know, you know what, musical instruments are haram, shouldn't be listening to music, and I don't want to do that because, you know, if it's for Allah's sake. And I'm here battling, like, should I do it, should I not? And I'm thinking, you know what, if I go to the gym, like, logically, rationally, and I lift heavier, I'll become bigger, I'll become stronger, how is that a bad thing? And then the flip side is, okay, you know what, I'm not going to do it just for the sake of Allah. The main point that I'm getting to is if you ever forego something haram for the sake of Allah, or you do something that is good for you for the sake of Allah, you'll never lose. However, anytime you do things for ulterior motives or dunya or people, it's almost every single time, 9 times out of 10, eventually going to lead to a point where you're just either A, miserable, B, stuck in this loop of only seeking validation from dunya and people, or C, taking yourself away from Allah. A very good example of this is, let's say I want to give, I don't know, I want to buy someone lunch for the sake of Allah, right? And let's say they're sick, they just had surgery, and they're recovering, and they might not have energy to leave the house. So I'm going to give them, I'm going to go to takeout, I'm going to go get their favorite restaurant, their favorite drink, favorite entree, and I'm going to leave that at the doorstep, or I'm going to just, you know, tell them that, you know, drop it off. My intention, if it's for the sake of Allah versus my intention for the sake of them, are two different things. A lot of people are like, why isn't it the same thing? Let's say I do it with the intention of pleasing them and only that. We're all human at the end of the day. What if he or she eats that meal, drinks that drink, during their recovery just forgets to thank you? It happens. We're all human. Or let's say they just slips their mind, or they get busy, or something happens, right? You're going to now be tripping out. Like, oh, do they not appreciate me? How dare they? They're so ungrateful. You know, you're going to start second guessing your action now because of your intention. And my point is, eventually with people and human beings, you can't control them. You can't do something and expect something back from people. You can't do something and expect praise and compliments and reward. You can't expect reciprocity. You can't. At the end of the day, you can't control what other people do. The only one you can control is you. Compare this to now, if I did this for the sake of Allah, I'm going to give someone a meal for the sake of Allah. Khalas. Whether they praise me or not, they show me appreciation or not, they cherish it or not, they reciprocate it or not, I already know that if I did it for the sake of Allah, Allah has rewarded me. Allah has raised me in rank in what matters, not in this dunya. So it really doesn't matter what they say or what they don't say.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. I'm trying to read the comments from here, and I'm half blind right now, so it's kind of difficult to. I don't know if they're following along or not.
Yeah, I blocked someone today, bro.
Oh, no. Only one? That's actually.
I blocked one, bro. It was a guy. A man said I'm using lip fillers. So I was like, listen to me, bro. So I take that as a compliment, right? I don't have an issue with that. Khalas, you want to look at another man's lips, bro. That's a little sus, but khalas yani, faddal, whatever. And then the same troll proceeds to say, bro, it looks like Fahd's using a fish eye filter to make his eyes look bigger or something like that. Bro, who has time for this type of stuff? Say Allahumma barik and keep it moving, bro. Because that level of clownish behavior, that's not even a compliment. You're just being sus at that point. But may Allah bless you, regardless if you're Muslim.
Allahumma ameen. Astaghfirullah alayhi. I'm sorry. I found that funny, but yeah, some people just want problems, man. Like I was not gonna lie. Yeah, it's okay. Some people are, and that was an example of bad action, bad intention. All right, Bismillah. Let's move on. So let's bring it back to inshallah the other topic. So we discussed the basics. doing things with the right intention, doing the right action as well with the right intention. And what happens if you don't, if you do things that are haram or you do things that are good, but with the wrong intention, that's something that's also punishable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish us for that potentially. Now I want to talk about another very, very basic thing that unfortunately I think a lot of Muslims lack, and that's professionalism. Professionalism is something that, you know, is basic. You know, if you work in any field, you have to have a level of professionalism, but it's not just in the workspace. You actually have to have a level of professionalism and a level of excellency in every avenue of life. You know, some people, they go to work and they act professional, they're dressed nicely, they're looking nice, they're speaking very kindly, you know, they're using nice professional sounding words. As soon as they get home, everything changes. They're a whole other person. And I think the more you can minimize that, the better you'll be, because you will be authentic and you will be professional at the same time. And I want to quote a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that I think is so tremendously powerful, because it speaks about ihsan, doing things with excellence or doing things with a level of perfection. And it talks about essentially professionalism. So the Prophet ﷺ, and this is in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah and Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Verily Allah has prescribed excellence in everything." Boom. We're already off with something so tremendous, such a banger already. Allah has prescribed excellence in everything, which means everything you do, you have to do it excellently. Can you imagine that? I'm not saying if you don't do it excellently, you're sinful. But this is what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us to do. Allah has told us to be excellent in everything. And then he says, if you off somebody, if you have to or something, then off them in the best manner. Something that we don't think about, oh, let me do this correctly. Let me do this excellently. You're offing someone. You don't think about doing it that way. But he says, if you have to, do it in the best manner. If you have to, you know, like halal slaughtering for an animal, then do it in the best manner. He says, let one of you sharpen his knife so the animal is spared from suffering. I think that last line is so beautiful and it's so powerful. And a lot of people let it go under the radar, but inshallah, we're not going to let it slide under the radar today. The Prophet, he said, let one of you sharpen his knife so the animal is spared of suffering. What does this mean? What does this tell us? It tells us that sometimes when you don't do things in the most perfect way, sometimes when you don't do things excellently, people will suffer. Imagine what I'm trying to tell you guys today and what Fai is trying to tell you guys today. If we don't do it in the best manner, sometimes people actually become hurt. You know, if you want to advise someone close to you or any person for that matter, and you don't go about it in the right way, sometimes you cause more damage. Sometimes you cause more harm than good. If you want to go to someone and say, hey, I think you're suffering with this problem, sometimes the way you say it makes them fall into that problem even more. Sometimes when you go to someone and you say, you're just a liar, you're just a thief, you're just a backbiter, you're just a... Sometimes you're telling them the things that, you know, you think they are, and then they start to believe it and they fall further into that. So when you don't do things in the best of manner, sometimes people suffer. So again, I want to go back to the top of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allah has prescribed excellence in everything. So now think about it. Every individual, think about it. How many things do you think about doing excellently? Is your life a matter of let me do everything excellently? Or is it a matter of let me do whatever? Let me do the bare minimum. You know, even small things like I'm gonna check out to work 5 minutes early, but I'm gonna get paid for the full hour. You know, small things like that. You might see it as small, but you know, reflect on this hadith. Was that an excellent thing to do as a person? Was that excellent to do as a Muslim? Not necessarily. So Farid, I want you to jump in. What are some signs of professionalism, or what are some traits that a professional would have in any field that you think people lack today?
Well, number one, punctuality. This is key, bro, across the board, no matter what. Yeah. Oh, Farid, that's only with kuffar self-improvement. That's not with Islam. Well, Allah says in the Quran that prayers are prescribed at fixed times for us to remember Allah and for us to worship Allah in the best manner possible. We don't have this. Listen, we don't want to play the haram police game, but listen, I'm gonna say it as it is. Delaying prayers until it's basically time for your next prayer and you're waiting 5 minutes. I was victim to this, by the way, too, in the past. But this is not being punctual. This is not having excellence and professionalism, like the brother Rami is saying. And this, it displeases Allah. at the end of the day. Yes, sometimes it's a sunnah to delay prayer. For example, the Prophet ﷺ would delay Isha, and you know, there's context for that. It's a sunnah, but in general, we have to have punctuality for prayer. And in general, professionally, we have to have punctuality for everything. I don't care if you think someone's going to show up late or they don't take it seriously. You got to take it seriously. There's a quote that we talked about, me, Rami, and Anha, that how you do one thing is how you do everything. So let's say you're punctual with work, but you're like, you know what, work, I have to be punctual. You know, I have clients or I have patients or whatever, and they're coming at a specific fixed time slot, appointment, right, in my schedule. But because of that, I don't have to be punctual after hours. No, you do. Because how you are non-punctual after hours, let's say with meeting people or friends or other things, it's going to project and rub off on other areas of your life. And if you don't take those things seriously, you're not going to take other things seriously. Another example is, let's say it's time to go outside and I'm just going to wear whatever. Now, obviously, as Muslims, we should be wearing correct hijab. So I'm not saying not to. But if you go outside looking like a bum, you haven't gotten a haircut in a long time, you haven't showered, you're not clean, you got ripped clothes, old clothes, whatever. This is not a talk about halal haram, by the way. I'm just saying you're not carrying yourself with respect. Like, you take yourself seriously, but you expect other people to take yourself seriously. And let's say because of that, it projects into how you dress, period. So even when you're home now, you're like, you know what? When I go outside, I don't even care how I dress. So in the house, there's no one. So I'm just going to dress however I want to, like a bum. And when you pray, right, you dress however you want. You're not wearing the best of clothes. You're not looking the most presentable. Allah likes it when you actually look more presentable and try to look good for His sake when you're praying. A lot of people didn't know that. It's easy to just roll out of bed and wear pajamas and pray. And I'm not saying not to do that. I do that sometimes too. But Allah loves it when you actually try to look better and feel better and be more presentable and professional for Him. And you take your time with salah. That is better for you. So it goes without saying that punctuality is extremely key, bro. Before I give the next ones, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Punctuality. And we know that very well. We come to every stream like 5 minutes late. So inshallah, we're working on that as well. But that,
we're human. We're human too.
Yeah. And that's something that's, I think, really underrated. And I think a lot of the things I have on my list, and probably a lot of the things you're going to mention as well, Fahd, are very underrated things. People are like, oh yeah, that's basic. But are you implementing it? Yes, punctuality is basic, but are you actually implementing it? Are you, like, even something small, like your mom says, be home at 6 for dinner, and you come 6:30. You know, you might see that as small, but your mom asked you to be there at a certain time and you agreed. You know, Idris alayhi salam, he promised he'd meet a person at a specific time and the guy didn't show up. Idris alayhi salam waited hours. He sat there waiting hours. Us, we'd, you know, I'm not saying you have to, but us, we'd wait 5-10 minutes, be like, screw this person, blah, blah, blah. We wouldn't even make an excuse. We'd say, man, they stood me up, blah, blah, and that you'd run out the door and never talk to them again. Idris alayhi salam, he waited hours for the guy. And the guy finally came and said, hey, I'm sorry, I completely forgot. You know, but us, we're a whole different story in terms of punctuality and all that.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And like, that's a beautiful point, bro, because when it comes to a societal level with the community, people, it will rub off on people, bro. If they know you as the guy that's consistently late, they're not going to take you seriously. But more importantly, forget the people, right? You yourself will not take yourself seriously over time. Because anytime you tell yourself you're going to do something as a man and you don't follow through, you're subconsciously telling yourself that I'm not capable of doing what I set out to do. This is deep. It's not just, you don't have these logical thoughts consciously. That's not what happens. But subconsciously, it limits yourself and your capability in your eyes. And because you don't do what you said you're going to do when you're going to do it, next time you're less likely to do it. And then you're even more or less likely to do it. And it's just a downward negative feedback loop regression into you basically not being somebody that accomplishes their goals. It's too far of an analogy into what I'm saying, but the path that you're on, if you do that, only leads that way. Whereas the opposite is true as well, alhamdulillah. If you tell yourself you're going to do something, when you're going to do it, and you actually follow through, not only will people know that, but you will know that. You prove yourself subconsciously that you know you're capable, that you can do what you set out to do. So punctuality, guys, once again, key. The next thing that I wanted to bring up, it's something that we've definitely been working on a lot in the last few years, alhamdulillah, is going to be your speech, right? And it doesn't matter what professional avenue you're looking at, whether it's with coworkers, whether it's with friends, whether it's with family, whether it's in the masjid, or even just how you talk to yourself. If you know, a lot of sisters talk to themselves, subhanAllah. But if we have foul speech, the effects on it are so drastic compared to what we think it is. And I think there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentions that something very small in our eyes could be huge in the eyes of Allah. And something big, like a sin that we think Allah will never forgive us, it's very small in the eyes of Allah. Allah could forgive it just like that. So Rami, why don't you go into that a little bit? The importance of speech, specifically good speech and refraining from cussing, swearing, backbiting, which is a major sin in Islam.
Yeah, so speech, I mean, is an all-encompassing term because it doesn't just encompass the words that you use or how many or how few words you use. It's also how you say it, the inflection that you use, the tone that you use. If you don't say what you want to say with the person in mind and with the message in mind, then it might not come out the way you want. And then it actually might be, like I mentioned, more harmful than it is beneficial. So when it comes to speech, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells Musa alayhi salam in the Quran to go to Fir'aun, the worst person. We know how horrible this person is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go to him and basically speak to him kindly and tell him, you know, let the children of Israel come with me. This is a horrible person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam to speak to him kindly, which shows us what, actually, this is a side note, but it shows us what? It shows us that when you speak nicely or poorly or rudely with somebody, it's not about who you're speaking to, it's about who's speaking. If you have a bad way of communicating, or if you're a disrespectful person, it doesn't matter if you're saying it disrespectfully to a bad person or a good person. It's a reflection of who you are. Allah commanded an amazing person, Musa alayhi salam, to uphold his amazing nature and just be a good person and speak kindly. Because when you speak kindly, it's a reflection of you being a good person. And when you speak poorly, it's a reflection of you being a bad person. And the Prophet ﷺ was always good and kind and compassionate and real and firm with his speech. Obviously, everything when he needed to be, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So speech, and I'm not going to be perfect at this because maybe in me communicating to you, I'm making my own mistakes and blunders. But the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he wouldn't say too many words. He would say a few words, but it would mean a lot. So he wouldn't waffle on basically a lot. And sometimes he would repeat things three times to really hammer it in, so that people can understand. So speech is one of those things where you actually really need to master it. And to master it, it just takes practice and understanding. And that dips into emotional intelligence and psychology and understanding people and what gets them working and moving. And inshallah, we'll probably have an entire episode, maybe two, on emotions and emotional intelligence and all that. But if I did that answer your question, because I wanted to go through a few things.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, alhamdulillah, perfect. So just for the sake of time, to not carry on too long, some other signs of professionalism would be things like, other than punctuality, would be things like having standards. Every Muslim should have a standard. And if they don't know what their standard is, who cares? Know what Allah's standard is and then make that your standard, because that's the only standard that matters. That's the only criteria that we should care about as Muslims. Next is consistency, right? I mentioned the hadith earlier. The most loved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that are consistent even if they're small, right? They're consistent even if they're small. So every time you walk in the masjid, give a dollar or two instead of giving 20 bucks, you know, once a year when you walk in, you're feeling generous. Also, about speech and everything, like I was mentioning, being respectful towards ourselves first and foremost, not making a fool out of ourselves, not bantering too much, making, you know, silly jokes or disrespectful or crude jokes, being respectful to our peers, speaking to them kindly and nicely, upholding their honor as well as our own, and, you know, to others out there, even the strangers, we have, you know, they have rights over us as well. They are human beings. They're a living creature. You know, we have to uphold our rights and respect towards them as well.
And bro, just to add to that point of people that make dirty jokes or excessive jokes and laughter and all that, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, beware of excessive laughter. It's not good for us in our relationship with Allah.
Yeah.
What something affects us on a physical, three-dimensional, material world level might not be the same as what happens on a spiritual level. So some people think, oh, I listen to music, I'm fine. Okay, yeah, you're fine in this three-dimensional world. You're not physically deteriorating, right? Or at least that we know of. But what's happening to your spirit, to your soul? We don't know. We can't see it. You know, so don't think just because something's not happening to you physically, it's not affecting you spiritually. And excessive laughter, foul speech, that's definitely one of those things. Because superficially, it seems like, oh, what's the difference between me saying this word or not saying that word?
Yeah, 100%. Even things like banter, you know, just talking uselessly for too long is something that we shouldn't do as Muslims. Because the doors that it opens are, you know, could be dangerous. Could open the door to backbiting. It could open the door to slandering. It could open the door to saying something that, yani, you just can't take back. So even things like that, we have to be careful of. Next is being organized. Organized with your time, organized with your things, organized with other people's belongings and other people's time. You know, that's very important. Being focused, you have to be driven and focused as a Muslim. You need to know what is important and be steadfast on it. You know, things like having khushu in your prayer, focus in your prayer, things like having taqwa in tawakkul, you know, God consciousness. That's very, very important in your life. And lastly, being well managed. I don't mean that someone else is managing you. I mean that you manage yourself well. You know your weaknesses, you know your strengths, you know your pros, your cons, your shortcomings, and then you work on them and you manage yourself. You know that if I were to do this, I'd be stepping out of my range a little too much. Let me hold back. You know, that's something, alhamdulillah, I think that I've learned very recently as well. Just know your bounds and do things slowly, inshallah, if you need to, and quickly as well, if you need to, and if you can. Just manage yourself well, inshallah. Were there any final quick, traits of a professional that you wanted to add, Fayyad?
I did want to add sabr, patience, and understanding that sometimes you're doing the right thing, but you just haven't given enough time yet. And just having that trust in Allah, that tawakkul in Allah. Another thing is perseverance. Kind of goes hand in hand with consistency, but always expecting a higher standard from yourself and operating at that standard no matter what. And then the last thing I'll do, or I'll say with professionalism, is how you are when no one's watching. So maybe being authentic or sincere, but many people are on point when other people are watching. Many people pray in front of other people. Many people do good deeds in front of other people, but behind closed doors, they're not really operating at any standard, let alone a good best standard. So understand that Allah is always watching. The angels are always watching. So it goes without saying that we should always be on point, no matter whose eyes are on us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautifully said. Now, moving on to something else that I think, unfortunately, people lack tremendously nowadays, Muslims and non-Muslims, but it's more shameful when Muslims lack these things because we have the Quran, we have the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ telling us how to live life and how to act and how to behave. So something that's missing are manners, just good mannerisms. Prophet ﷺ, with things like marriage, he'd say, look for good character, manners, and good religion. So even with things like getting married and being with your family, manners are something that are of the utmost importance. When you go out in public and people see you have bad manners, you're basically telling them, stay away from me. And when you have good manners, you're telling them, I'm a person you can trust. I'm a person who will be there for you. I'm a person who, you know, genuinely cares. Just by virtue of having good manners, you hold yourself up to a certain level. And that's very important. The Prophet ﷺ, and there are many, many hadith talking about the importance of having good character. So this one is in At-Tabarani, and then the rest will be in Bukhari. So this one, Prophet ﷺ, he said, the most beloved of Allah's slaves are those with the best manners. Now the rest I'm about to mention are all sahih in Sahih Bukhari. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, nothing is heavier on the scale of deeds than one's good manners. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You think your extra salah, the extra prayers that you pray, you think the little bit of charity that you gave, you think, you know, you smiled at somebody, you think, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven now. But maybe you have bad manners. And that is the heaviest thing on the scale. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was saying. Nothing is heavier than good manners. Prophet ﷺ, he also said, a person may attain through good manners the same level of virtue as those who spend their nights in prayer. Could you imagine staying up all night in prayer or most of the night in prayer? Every single night, the level of virtue and righteousness you'd reach, you can reach that just by having good manners. And it's something that's so beneficial as well. The Prophet ﷺ also said, the best among you in Islam are those with the best manners. The best of you are those with the best manners. What more do you need to know? Okay, let me get my mannerism straight, inshallah. And lastly, the hadith I have here, the Prophet, when he was asked about the definition of righteousness, people asked him, what is righteousness? The Prophet, he said, righteousness is good character. Righteousness is good character. How beautiful is that? You know, go ask a Christian or a Jew or anyone else, what is righteousness? And look at what they're going to answer you. And look at what the Prophet defines it as. He says, righteousness is having good character. How beautiful is that? And the Prophet, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Quran, you know, what good character is and traits that we should have and things we should avoid. He tells us not to lie, right? Speak the truth, even if it's against your own self. He says, don't insult. He says, don't be wasteful. Don't backbite. You know, keep your oaths and your promises and so on and so forth. So to know what good manners are, just study the Quran. Study the seerah of the Prophet and look at the lives of some of the Anbiya, some of the prophets that existed. But Fahd, what are some manners that you think people are lacking nowadays?
Number one thing is integrity. People don't have value, bro. People don't have a code of ethics that they stand by. So sometimes they have a boundary, maybe with themselves or other people, and they uphold that. And then when it comes to other things or other times when somebody asks them something or basically coerces them, they're very easy to cave or give in, right? And as men, one of the biggest things that I will bring up is controlling ourselves and our sexual desires as men. This is something that is a very good litmus test of a man's integrity. And women, believe it or not, can see that. They can sense that. That are you going to be the type that would most likely, when I'm not here, you're going to cheat on me, you're going to give in to your desires, or do you have a code of ethics? Do you have integrity? Are you a qawwam at the end of the day? So I will bring up integrity, but what are your thoughts on that so far?
Yeah, 100%. That's definitely a great, great one. And that's unfortunately one that a lot of people miss, you know, even being, you know, in small ways, you know, when you're dealing with someone, maybe they buy something from you and maybe you buy something from them and they give you change back, but they accidentally give you too much. If you have integrity as a Muslim, you will say, hey, you actually gave me too much and give the money back. Things like that, even if it's just a dollar or two, are very important as Muslims. But what else, Fayyad?
Next thing is, I want you to give one too, and then I'll give another one.
Okay. Well, one that I think is huge is backbiting.
People
backbite like nothing these days. They'll have full backbiting sessions. Just a bunch of people will get together just to talk bad about somebody else who isn't there to defend themselves. Nobody would defend them. They would all sit there for hours just talking mad stuff about this person, and they would act like it's nothing. They would walk away.
Yeah, it's very normalized.
Yeah, unfortunately. So this is something that we need to avoid. Even if it's not us saying the words, walk away. Tell someone, listen, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to hear this stuff. I don't want to be here when you're backbiting, and I advise you not to, and walk away.
Yeah, bro, and it's tough because not everyone sees it that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what they think, you know, only what Allah and His Messenger say, alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yeah, that's facts. Yeah. Number two is going to be something that I notice in a lot of people, is they're too jokey. Like, they're always joking around. And I'm not saying don't have fun in life, don't have a smile on your face, don't laugh and giggle and have a good time. No one's saying to be super strict and boring or anything like that. But I'm talking to those people that are always joking around. They're always laughing. You can tell in the room, they're literally acting like they're intoxicated or inebriated for some reason. And there's no sense of conduct. It's not overly laughing, but it's almost in a goofy cornball dancing monkey type thing where their main intention is always, how do I just get people to laugh? And how do I just make fun of everything? And it shows a lack of security in yourself as a man. It shows a lack of you are content with who you are, and Allah knows best. Allah knows who I am. That's all I care about. It's a level of those that, and especially men today, that are laughing too much, talking too much, always arguing, always debating, overly talking. It all stems from ego, that I need to show that I'm right. I need to show them how much I know. I need to show them that I'm funny, or I need to basically prove a point. And not only does this limit you, but it limits your connection to Allah, because at the end of the day, you're always looking for external validation with people for your ego. The main goal is to let go of your ego so you don't care about how you come across. You do your part, and then as a man, you just sit back. You know you've done everything in the eyes of Allah possible, and you leave the rest to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. I have exhausted my list of things. I'm sure everyone at home can come up with probably 10 more on their own. I'm sure you have a lot more, Fahd, but we only have about 9 minutes, inshallah, before we have to wrap up. So I think it would be good just to start talking about emotional intelligence. We're not going to go into the whole thing because, listen, the whole thing would take probably an entire course. People have written books on this. People have, you know, this is a whole field of study for some people. So we're just going to talk about things on a very basic level and some things to watch out for. Again, some of the basics to keep in mind when you're dealing with people. So firstly, Fahd, what is emotional intelligence? If someone were to ask you.
Emotional intelligence, or EQ, is basically a trait of having empathy, sympathy, and basically reading the room and situations and just being more mindful, having that connection with other people. It's far too nuanced of a shade of gray to be giving you a simple one-liner of a definition. But I think giving some examples can definitely help. So there's a hadith where the Prophet was laying with Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife. And it was that time of the month for her, as the narration goes. And she basically gets up to either go somewhere or go to the washroom, or I'm not sure, Rami can correct me if I'm wrong, but she gets up and the Prophet looks at her and says, when you come back to me, come back closer. Like, make sure you come back to me even closer than you were when you left. Which goes to show that, you know, sometimes women are self-conscious or whatever. That time of the month, they feel weird, they feel gross, they feel groggy and whatever. And the Prophet read that and basically, without saying that specifically, just completely removed all those doubts or insecurities by saying, come back to me closer. You know, this is emotional intelligence. It's not just saying what needs to be said and just only caring about yourself, but you're making sure you're taking the best objective stance possible. Another thing is, let's say you are with a friend and you're somebody that you like to be respectful and you like to be respected as well. But let's say they had a bad day, or let's say somebody passed away in their family and they were supposed to meet you at 5 o'clock. Let's say they come at 5:30. Now, you know they're having a bad day. You know they lost their loved one and they're grieving or whatever. First of all, the fact that they're even meeting you, subhanAllah, may Allah bless them and elevate them in rank. But let's say at that point, you realize, you know what? I'm going to go off on them. I'm going to say, yo, how could you be 30 minutes late? You know, we were supposed to do this. We were supposed to watch this. I was going to say watch this movie, but let's say we had this appointment and we know we were going to do this, but now we missed this appointment. We missed our time slot. That's you not being emotionally intelligent. Now, if this is a pattern, sure, you can bring it up. But reading the room and given the context, how they went through what they went through, it would be far more emotionally intelligent of you to forbear and forego checking them that one time, because you understand that, you know what? Okay, maybe they're not in the best state of mind. Maybe their life isn't going according to plan. Let me have a little bit of emotional intelligence, empathy for them. But you can feel free to add anything to that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I think continuing with like examples and a step-by-step process would be really important for everyone. So again, everyone understand that we're going to, inshallah, one day have a full episode, maybe two, maybe three, maybe an entire playlist, Allahu Alam, on how deep this issue is, on emotional intelligence and how to communicate properly, how to make people feel better about themselves, and how to live a fruitful life, inshallah. But we're just going to stick with the basics for today. So just like anything else, this requires the theoretical aspect, the concepts, the understand, you know, the steps that you write down on a paper that you can refer to. And then it takes practice as well, pardon me. So, you know, you're going to deal with, you know, your parents, you're going to deal with your siblings, you're going to deal with your spouse, you're going to deal with people at work, you're going to deal with customers. Practice with the people around you. You know, firstly, observe them and really care about them. A lot of the time when we're discussing with people, we're focused on what we're going to say. So we're not even listening to the person. Listen to them. Hear them out. Forget about being right or being wrong or sounding smart or sounding dumb. Just forget about all of that. Just think about their perspective. When they're speaking, how does their face look? How is their tone? Do they seem happy? Do they seem upset? What could possibly be going on in their head right now? If you can understand these things, then you're a step closer to be able to have a positive and fruitful discussion or experience with them. And that's important, because if you can produce good experiences for people, you'll make them happier, you'll make them more positive, and you'll bring them closer to you. The Prophet ﷺ, he had a beautiful talent, a beautiful gift of making everyone around him feel like they're the closest person to him, making everyone around him feel special. Who else could do that? Who actually tries to do that even, or cares enough to? You know, small things like when someone's speaking, you turn, you face them with your whole body. That's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. So observe the person speaking and really ask yourself in the moment, you know, what's going on in their head while listening to them. There are words that they're saying, and then there's something that they mean, because not everyone, most people actually, when they communicate, it's not a direct way. Very few people just come and tell you point blank period, X, Y, Z. They will be around the bush. So really try and extrapolate what they're saying and what's at the root of the issue. And then once you understand that, ask yourself, what can I do to positively contribute to their life? What can I do to positively contribute to this experience for them? And it's not about you. Again, focus. It's not about you. It's about them. And if you remember that, and I think you guys should maybe watch the stream back, take a few notes here and there, and put all these things into practice, inshallah. Because if you actually implement these things, you'll see not just your life go up, or the state of your life. Not only are you going to see it go
quality
up.
Quality of your life.
Yeah, thank you. The quality of your life, the state of your life, and the other people around you, they will experience the same thing, because you're going to be more beneficial to the people around you as well.
I'll give a quick example before we read out some of these super chats at the end, but a lot of people, I deal with a lot of non-Muslim clients sometimes, and they have girlfriends, obviously they're not Muslim, may Allah guide them, but a lot of them, they have this thing where it's like they spend too much time with their girl or their woman or their spouse. And I was talking to Brother Rami about this a few hours ago, that you might think she wants your time. You might think that she wants to spend time with you. So you stop going to the gym because she wants to spend time with you. You stop making money and doing overtime because she wants to spend time with you. Because your intention is, oh, you know what? I want to make her happy and I don't want to hurt her feelings or whatever. Bro, you doing that is quite literally the worst thing that you could do for her. And if you cared about her, you wouldn't do those things. Because now, let's say it's time to protect her. Some altercation was to go down, but you actually don't know how to fight because you haven't been going to the gym. You haven't been training MMA or whatever. You've just been being weak because you want to just snuggle next to her and watch Netflix. How is that doing the best thing for her, to protect her? Or let's say instead of making money, now it's time to basically help. Something happened. You guys can't pay rent. Money's short. And now you guys are on the street, God forbid. But do you really care about her then? Because instead of actually making the money to provide and protect, you've just been doing the more easy thing, the more comfortable thing. So operating at this high standard of excellence is quite literally the best thing that you can do for those around you, along with yourself. And just merely looking at it in a one-dimensional, oh, if I just make this person happy by doing what I want all the time, then everything will be taken care of. No. It might bring you temporary pleasure and comfort, but at the expense of you borrowing that from your long-term security and success.
Absolutely, 100%. So I think with that being said, that kind of concludes the basic things that we wanted to speak about today. Again, just to recap, a lot of people lack in the basic fundamental aspects of life, you know, things like manners, character, morals, intention, good actions, emotional intelligence, caring about other people, focusing on, you know, how they look in society, how they appear, if they're being a good part of society or a bad part of society. These are basic things. And since people lack the basics, it's hard for them to teach themselves. And they definitely can't teach anyone else. So it's with those, who have the knowledge, it's upon those with the knowledge to teach it and convey it. And that's okay. Sometimes you need someone to show you how to shop. Yeah, even shop. You're at the grocery store. Sometimes you need someone to show you how to shop. Small things, getting good deals, picking good products, knowing what you want, knowing what you need. Sometimes you need people to show you how to do basic things like that. Picking out flowers as well. What makes a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Bouquet? Yeah. What makes a good bouquet? What makes something look pretty? By the way, you're muted, Fahd.
I was gonna say, come on, Romeo, you should know this.
Yeah, sorry, I just get the flowers. I don't know the terms, but
oh, that's facts.
Alhamdulillah. But
Riz.
Alhamdulillah, ya Rab.
Allahumma barik.
But my wife and mom are very lucky. May Allah bless them.
Just kidding. May Allah bless them.
Allahumma, I'm blessed to have them. Alhamdulillah. But back to the main point. You know, these basics are things that you guys need to practice in real life. So that being said, alhamdulillah, let's get to some of the super chats that we weren't able to pull up on the fly.
Inshallah, bro. We got to wrap in 5 minutes hard time because I got to go to the masjid, inshallah. We got Maghrib soon.
All right. Mahmoud says, Assalamu alaikum, brother Fayed and brother Rami. I want to share something with you brothers in private. I've sent an email and message you on Instagram. Jazakallah khair wa ayyakum, inshallah. We will check it out. Mahmoud Ahmed and barakallah feekum for the $27. Lucid when, inshallah, soon. Don't worry, have patience. That's one of the things we discussed, inshallah. We will have a stream with them soon, inshallah. Yeah,
inshallah, 2 to 3 months, it'll happen. Bro, don't even read this. I really hope you're joking, bro. I really hope that you're joking around.
It probably is. I don't think anyone would say that in a serious way. Good evening. Can a woman become Muslim even if her husband doesn't? Absolutely. Your Islam never relies on another person, whether they're your mother, your father, your child, your spouse, no matter who it is. And we actually have amazing Muslims that were married to really bad people once upon a time, or maybe even, you know, they died Muslims and their spouse was a horrible person. So accept Islam and don't let anybody hold you back. Even if you have to do it just in your heart between you and God, you should go for it, inshallah, because Islam is the truth.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah bless you all and allow us to be righteous and stay in the straight path to please Him and only Him.
Amen.
And if you please people as a byproduct, khalas, that's fine. If you please the dunya as a byproduct and you get likes and you get validation from the dunya as a byproduct, that's fine. But never go for that. If it happens, it happens. And definitely understand these things, the dunya, external validation, fame, this stuff is a necessary evil. A necessary evil is something that it's evil, but if it's necessary, khalas. For example, like us, we have this podcast, right? We're out here making videos, we get subs, we have a following, people recognize us. It's not something per se that is an easy test for a lot of people. And many people let it get to their heads or they have narcissism or whatever. And for us, we're not like that anyway. We love looking at, you know, anytime somebody comes and they say, oh, yo, I'm your fan or whatever. Like, bro, you're a brother in Islam. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you. But the main thing that I'm getting to is having these things are a necessary evil. For us, we're doing da'wah, you know, but if you're out here trying to get fame, clout, and all this external validation, please the dunya, please the people, and your intention isn't for Allah, then you really got to ask yourself, why are you doing this? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're not doing something for the sake of Allah, what are you really doing it for? Because this life is short. You're going to die one day. Just like that. And that one day might be tomorrow. It might be today. It might be in the next hour. Not to get meta, but how are you going to guarantee it's not? Tell me that. You can't guarantee it's not. And when it's all said and done, eternity is going to be way more valuable and important and a major priority than temporary, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of life, if we're lucky. So this life is a test. If you're not doing anything for the sake of Allah, really ask yourself, why are you doing it? Why are you Muslim? You wake up every single day and people know you're Muslim, but why are you really Muslim? Just so you can like sleep it off day by day, waste your life away, you know, barely get your 5 daily prayers and that's it? Like, or are we really trying to lead by example? Are we really trying to save these people from Jahannam? These people that need guidance and da'wah and they need someone to be an example for them. Prophet ﷺ mentioned that da'wah is an obligation, convey from me even if it's one ayah from the Quran. So what are we really doing this for?
Absolutely, absolutely. So just to make sure, you said the Prophet ﷺ said, convey for me even if it's just one ayah, right? Okay, perfect. So I thought I misheard that. So with that being said, I think that's a beautiful note to end on. May Allah bless you all for watching. Please like and share the video with those who you think need it. And by the way, basically everyone needs to hear these basic things. Even if they know them, the Prophet ﷺ told us that there is goodness in the reminder. May Allah forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. Anything that's good that we said is from Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, the most high, the absolute and the supreme, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that was wrong or that was incorrect or misconstrued is only from ourselves and from shaitan, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said is the accursed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again forgive us for our sins and shortcomings and elevate us in this life and the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our good and pardon us on the day of judgment. May Allah protect us from the punishment of this life and the grave and in the afterlife as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us great spouses and children who will be the offspring of, you know, us as righteous people, inshallah, and who will be the coolness of our eyes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be leaders for the righteous. Allahumma ameen. And with that being said, Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.